Yeah. Awesome. Bring it on.
So how does it make you,
feel?
Yeah.
Welcome to Three Men and a Feeling for this week. With me are John Hendry and Andrew Fuller. Not that I particularly care. I mean, it's great that they're here, I guess, but if they didn't come, that would have been okay as well, because things would have just moved on and we would have found something else to fill the gap. So it's okay that they're here. We're talking about indifference or not, depending on how they're feeling.
Well, I don't really care.
It's been great to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
Indifference. Why, John, did you tell me before we started this conversation that indifference is walking hand in hand with despair?
When you become indifferent to something, then you just don't care about it. And that can be really quite crippling. Why do you not care about something?
But isn't it better than hating?
To develop feelings, we have to invest something. And when you are indifferent, you're very skeptical about making an investment at all. So you just don't become part of it. It's a lonely place to be.
But isn't it a safe place? Isn't this one of the reasons why people practice indifference?
It can be, in that you are looking after yourself and you just don't want to be involved. But most of our lives are lived, well, all our lives are lived in relationships, and we need to be involved. We need to be engaged, because that gives us purpose, meaning, and we're actually giving something. Indifference means that you're giving nothing. It's not a good place to be as a human being.
There's that thought that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
It's indifference.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yes.
So that basically people just switch off and opt out, basically. And so what we found on our research from 200,000 young people, resilient youth, is there's an avoidant mindset. And that avoidant mindset basically is where, what's the point? I can't be bothered. I won't get involved. And of course, so about 20% of young people are in that kind of mindset of just being indifferent to the world and their contribution to it. And of course, that's an incredibly disempowered place to be. So they don't feel that they have anything to give. They often don't think that there's anything that there's worth receiving either. They're kind of in a limbo land. And, of course, that leads to powerlessness and a risk for depression long term.
I was going to say, it seems to me like a symptom leading to depression, because if you don't care about the world around you or your impact upon it or its impact upon you, it says you're already so insular that it's a really vital time for someone to break through.
Well, that's true, and our fundamental relationship we have is with ourselves. If that's quite good, and it's not an indifferent relationship, if that's quite good, then we can have relationships with others, because we have a sense of worth. But if we don't have a sense of worth, then our capacity to form relationships with others is inhibited substantially. And in John Bowlby's work, Mary Main, Mary Ainsworth, in the area of attachment and so forth, have looked very closely at security and insecurity as far as attachment's concerned. People who are secure have a greater sense of self-worth. So their self-regard is quite okay. But our self-regard is always a bit of a mirror of what our social regard is. So if I think I'm okay but no one else does, it won't take long and I'll be agreeing with them. So if you're indifferent, if you just don't care, one of the insecure forms of attachment is avoidance.
Mm.
And so we need to be really careful about people who become indifferent. Then, of course, it's really hard to come back. You have to go and see people like Andrew.
Which implicitly means you have to start caring.
That's right.
Because to seek that kind of help and support, mm-hmm. it says this mindset, this
yes.
schemata, this kind of yes. pattern of behaviour has led to this. So you have to have a moment of self-realisation that in seeking support, you are trying to overcome indifference.
Well, Karen Armstrong's work on the area of self-compassion is really substantial.
Self-compassion?
Self-compassion. You know how you feel. So I'm feeling down. I need to do something about it. You have to take care of yourself. And we say, you know, take care. Mm. And it's not a throwaway line. It's meant, take care. So we need to take care
of ourselves.
Well,
it might be when you say, John, there's a few people I think who don't really care when they say take care.
Take care. Well, that may be true.
And I believe you when you say it.
It becomes perfunctory, and it should not.
No.
This is one of the things that people lose when they are incarcerated or they're refugees. They slowly lose the capacity to care for themselves, and they become indifferent about most things. I just don't care.
So, Andrew, in talking about the results that you had, these alarming results, that a fifth of the young people you surveyed said, these are the things I feel indifferent about. Was there any particular areas of their life that stood out as moments of indifference for them?
Well, quite often they have a very low sense of belonging to other people and to themselves, really. So they don't develop their identity in any way. So one of the great paradoxes about depression, and I think we're right in calling this a early form of putting them at risk for depression, is you become preoccupied with yourself. So you're not giving out, you're preoccupied with yourself, but at the same time you don't care about yourself. And so the very thing you're preoccupied by, you don't care about. And so you become indifferent not only just to the world, you become indifferent to you. And that's a very empty place to be. And if you stay there, really you just sink further and further down into depression. And hopefully you have a moment of insight or self-compassion or self-care and go, I need to get some help to get out of this. Because often, I don't think you can really get out of that by yourself, or not very often at all, in my experience. You actually need to work with somebody, someone you trust, to work beyond that frame of mind. But it means you're opting out of your life, really. You're opting out of opportunities. You're kind of not getting involved. And we see, of course, this increasing. We see it partly through some of the electronic absorption that people have, as we talked about recently. And we also see it, I think, in a world that we feel overwhelms us. We're so busy. We're suffering from info glut. We've got so much information coming in.
Sensory bombardment.
Yeah, that basically we don't take the quiet time to kind of care any longer. We just basically try to avoid it and down the hatches, really.
It's really interesting to look at people who are indifferent, who are low on self-care, the type of relationships they form, and they can't avoid to be in relationships, even though they may hide in their room or not come out or whatever it might be. They form relationships on the basis of what they can get out of it. They don't form it on what they can give. So people who are feeling insecure in themselves form what I term transactional relationships. So they're in it for what they can get. They seek advantage, their advantage from a relationship. Whereas people who are secure form relationships on the basis of what they can give to, how they can embellish and grow the relationship. The others are just sapping everything from it. And they realize that after a time. And that just compounds, magnifies for them their lack of worth. I'm just using people. It's an insidious and very lonely place to be.
And I would suggest to you that one of the reasons why we proffer indifference, and I'm sure we've touched on this anyway, but is because it feels safe, because trust has been broken. And we understand that maybe trust didn't mean to be broken. We're not saying that it's actually anyone's fault necessarily, but we just don't feel like we want to put ourselves in a position where we're vulnerable because we're responsible.
Yes, so essentially when we become indifferent, we feel that we no longer have any contribution. And of course, that then leads to the risk of feeling marginalised and living in a moral vacuum. So what I do, good or evil, makes no real difference. And so this is a major issue for our society. And so one of the things that we have to think about is how do we more actively involve particularly our young people, but people of any age really, as being active contributors to our world, calling upon people to help build a better society. And I don't think we do that very well at all.
No, I think we pretty much suck at it.
Yeah. And so let me use young people, for example. We have, as a country, a number of foreseeable threats in the future, population change, climate, there's a whole series of them. But we don't ever ask our young people to contribute to possible solutions for those. But if we want young Australians to feel like they are active contributors to our community. We need to give them real world problems to cut their teeth on and to hear what they have to say and get their ideas about creating a better future. But we don't do it.
Well, I agree with you mostly. In the media, we do get funneled to us young achievers, young leaders in their communities who are making just those kinds of contributions, or at least trying to. But I still feel, in agreeing with you mostly, is that we go, isn't that fantastic? And we take a couple of photographs and it all gets up online and people read that story momentarily. And then that strategy that might have been brought about by that gathering of young people or by a decision-making young person never gets acted on.
That's right.
And I think one of the great reasons for despair, getting back to that word we started indifference conversation with, John, is that we all despair, whether we're young or old, that anything we feel strongly about will action improvement.
Andrew and I have done a lot of work on resilience. Two simple words. A resilient person is a person who uses the word and when they take on something. A non-resilient person, or a person who's lacking resilience, uses the word but. But takes us back. It holds us where we are and opens a way forward.
What about however?
However, let's play with that. No, I haven't thought that one through, Michael.
It's less absolute than but.
Yes.
But it says perhaps there's another way of looking at things. Andrew?
Well,
as we fight indifference?
Cynicism can be linked to indifference. And I suppose so. The antidote to indifference is to feel that you make a difference. And you feel that you make a difference when the people around you let you know that your actions, your contribution is valued.
Has brought benefit to them.
That's right. And so it is a rebuilding of trust. You're right, Michael. It's basically about how do you make a difference to your family, to your friends, to maybe your school or your workplace, and having that valued. And most people, of course, never hear about most of the difference they make. And so we need to think about how can we become more forthright about appreciating the difference that other people make to us, I think, as well.
Trust is the first major element for a relationship you have with yourself or with others. And forgiveness is the second. And if we take the word forgive and just put give for, so put the for at the back, and you're giving for yourself, you're giving for your capacity to give to others then. They need to give themselves a break. Come on, give yourself a break. Give for yourself.
I did my darndest at the front of this conversation to sound indifferent, and yet again you two have dragged me back to being present in the moment. Damn you both. So thank you very much indeed. Andrew Fuller, John Hendry, it's been another pleasure. This has been Three Men and a Feeling.
Yeah.